May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sometimes I think I know what I'm going to share, but then I don't feel comfortable with it. And then I get here and I don't know at all what I'm going to share. So I had Ron read the gospel lesson. I said, no, I'm not going to share that one. So this is what I feel like the Lord's told me to share. It's an encouraging word, it's a challenging word, and it's not one that I haven't spoken of before, but I guess it's the word that we need to hear today. And this is from Song of Solomon, and beginning in the last part of chapter 6. Verse 13. This is the daughters of Jerusalem, which would represent believers, but who haven't made the serious decision to give their all to Jesus, to pursue him, to be lovesick Christians. And they're looking at the Shulamite, who is that one who's made the decision to go to the heights, to love him with all of her heart, to be so yielded and available to him that he can live through them with all of their might, with all of his might. And they say, come back, O Shulamite. Come back, that we may gaze at you. And then this is Christ in response. Why should you gaze at the Shulamite as at the dance of two companies? And it's a long Hebrew word. It simply means the dance between heaven and earth. And it's the Lord describing what the Christian life is supposed to be like, is a dance. Dances speak of intimacy. It speaks of joy. It speaks of being in lockstep together, union. And our Christian life with Christ is supposed to be a dance with him. You know, over the years when I first started learning this, the kids were little. And so just the things you do with little kids in the middle of the night and all this kind of stuff. And Lord every time would speak to me and said, are you going to dance with me here? Because he's the one who leads the dance, right? And so part of that whole dance with him is about being surrendered and trusting him and joyfully embracing him and taking the steps that he's leading us into. It was a real liberating thing for me. It helped me go from, okay, they're up, it's your will, I'm happy about it, you know, and instead of seeing it from a perspective that I'm in Christ and this is the dance that he's invited me to be a part of. And I can do it gripingly, which is I'm not going to be a very good dance partner, or go with it. And I've always kind of seen the dance with the Lord like a waltz. And a waltz can take on lots of different, can be fast, can be slow. But then he goes on and he says this in verse 1, and there really shouldn't be a chapter division here. So he talks about the dance between you and Jesus. And he says, and what he's saying to these daughters of Jerusalem is basically, is why are you looking at her? Why don't you join the dance yourself? And then he says, how beautiful are your feet in sandals, O princess daughter. He's now speaking to the Shulamite. And he goes on and says different things. And this has always been an encouraging word to me because what he says here, he says, he first affirms her and says to the ones who are just your, unfortunately, your normal Christians who are very abnormal because they've not sold out, they've not radically committed themselves to a surrendered life. And he says to them again, why are you staring at her? Again, come join me, dance with me too. And then he goes on and he says to her, this amazing statement, how beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughters. And what he's saying is that our dance, when we sign up to dance with him, when we sign up to live a really radically surrendered life, a life that's going after a union with Christ, not just content with being a churchgoer and a giver and all that kind of stuff, that he says, your dance with me is with sandals, and how beautiful are your feet in sandals. Well, as you know, one of the traditions in the days of Christ, in the days when this book was written, is that when you greet a person, you go into their home, one of the first things they would do would wash your feet. And they wash your feet because you lived in that land that's really dirty, dusty. You lived with sandals. And they didn't have socks. And so their feet got dirty because they were just out in the world. And whenever you'd walk in, expression of love and affection would be, and it was also a prophetic sign that God forgives dirty feet. They would walk in and that wash their feet. And he said, how lovely are your feet, how beautiful are your feet in sandals. And the word feet there is actually the word steps. Not just your feet, but your feet and the steps that they take. And he's saying to her, even though you dance with me and you signed up for the dance, a seriously surrendered life, where you're pursuing me with all your heart He said, you've signed up for that, but I know that your dancing with me is with sandals. And sometimes your feet get dirty. But at least you've signed up for the dance. At least you're trying to take the steps. I can live with the fact that your feet get dirty sometimes as long as you're seriously trying to dance with me. That's always been a blessing to me. Because it's one thing for a Christian to struggle and just keep struggling in the same area because they've rationalized it, they've excused it, or their heart's gotten so hard and they don't even care and they won't call it sin anymore. It's another thing to get dirty feet in your attempt, in your sincere effort to be in cooperation with Him, to dance with Him. We get dirty feet when we get out of step. But if our longing, if the chief longing of our heart is to live a surrendered life and to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said, your feet are beautiful. Your steps are beautiful, even though they're in sandals and sometimes they get dirty, because you're trying to dance with me. You've committed yourself to the dance. Let me just encourage you. That's grace. That's wonderful grace. And it keeps me from getting discouraged and giving up when I do blow it. But it also encourages me that He's speaking of me in that way as long as I'm attempting to walk this thing out. I'm fighting the good fight. You'll grow. You'll learn to avoid the missteps. There'll always be some. There'll always be those times when your feet get dirty. And so if that's you this morning, if you signed up, man, and you're going for it with all your heart, and you know you've blown it again, then the Lord says your feet are beautiful to Him because at least you've signed up. But if you're at a place, you're still doing the same stuff, and you've rationalized it, you've excused it, emotionally or any other way, you won't call it what it is, you've decided to change the rules, you're not even in the dance anymore. And the consequences are immeasurably bad. Not because of judgment, just because God will let you. He'll give you enough leash till you finally get to the point where you realize that's an awful way to live. All right, so that word is for people who have dirty feet sometimes, but who are sincere and serious in their walk with the Lord. I've watched many people, especially when they didn't finish well, came to a place where they got comfortable with dirty feet. And wouldn't call it dirty feet anymore. And just change the rules. Redefine Christianity. So they could feel comfortable with not really walking with Him anymore. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.